You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us once again here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We are fast approaching Christmas. And hopefully you have not put off things to the last minute. If you've got packages to mail, you need to get those in like yesterday or before that. But if you have been saying, oh, I got time, it's time. And so hopefully you are ready for that. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete. Jits Concrete has decades and decades of experience right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. They have like I talk about, the three E's. They've got decades of expertise and experience and a great work ethic to do all things concrete, from the evaluation, the planning, what needs to be done, the specifications, the requirements, the codes, the connections, all of that. They know how to prep the site, do the installation, do the pour, do the finishing, get the cleanup done, and then get out of the way so that you can move forward with your project or enjoy the purpose that you started that project with in the first place. Jits Concrete can be reached at 321-536-5804. And if you have a project that you have in mind, actually, if you're wanting it done pretty quick, this is normally a good time of the year to do that, because a lot of people, if there's something going on around their house, they don't want their house all jacked up for the holidays. So they postpone those things a little bit longer. So if you've got something you'd like done, now may be a great time to get a hold of them. You can reach Greg at 321-536-5804. The Anderson family's been part of Merritt Assembly God longer than I've been a part of that. And we just hit our 33rd anniversary this last weekend. And so we thank them for all of their years of faithful support at Merritt Assembly of God. If you've got a project, Jits Concrete may be a great resource for you. Today we are going to move over to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. I'm going to read all seven verses for you. This is a Psalm of David. We're not going to touch on every verse, but we're going to focus primarily on verses 4 through 7 today. We won't touch on every word and every phrase all the way through those four verses, but there's some things in here that are worth us investigating, and promises that we can see. And if you're going through a challenging season during the holidays, this psalm can offer a great deal of hope and encouragement and peace to us. So let's look at Psalm 142. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look at my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. So the beginning of this psalm indicates that David is facing a time of trouble. And we don't like to talk about troubles too much. Now, there are some people who are focused on problems all of the time. And I hope that we can elevate our thinking, our speaking, and our day-to-day activities to where we're not just constantly moving from one crisis to another crisis, but instead we get to live in victory. We get to live in faith. We have a hope and a future, and so we focus on what God has in store for us and say, you know what, this is just a bump in the road. And I can tell you, I know people who have hit some pretty serious challenges in their life, and they just keep right on walking in the Spirit, walking in faith, and their mindset is, God's not going to fail. He's never failed me. He's never going to leave me. So why should I get all discombobulated? There's a word for my youth. Why should I get all frustrated and anxious and fearful when I walk in covenant with God, and therefore his victories are my victories and my battles are his battles? So I'm just going to put my faith and trust in him. So there are some people who try to live their spiritual life, and they don't acknowledge any trouble at all. They could be looking at trouble, and they say, no, I don't want people knowing that I have problems in my life as well. Well, that's not David's situation. He describes this in verse number 2, I declare before him my trouble. So there are some people who like to play semantics and, like, you know, it's not my situation. It's really, and they try and deflect away from it. But David said, nope, I got troubles. They're my troubles. You know, right now we're in this season where, we're experiencing the blessing of grandchildren. And I heard it said a long time ago that when you're dealing with your grandchildren, you get to enjoy them. If there's a challenge that comes up, like a diaper that needs to be changed or something like that. Now, I can change a diaper, but you don't want me to. I watched my wife when we were having our children, and I tried to do everything exactly the way that she did it. I mean, she would pull that thing. It would be snug. It would be tight. And that diaper would do what it was supposed to do. I'd do exactly the same thing, stand that baby up, and the diaper would fall right down around its ankles. Well, with grandchildren, you get to say, there's a diaper change that needs to take place here. And you get to enjoy the relationship without having to deal with the problems. David said, I got trouble. I got trouble. And in fact, he says in verse number 3 that because of the trouble, his spirit was overwhelmed. That means it was more than what he could handle. His troubles had reached flood stage. They were not just light and trivial. They were substantial in size, substantial in volume, and it said it was overwhelming to his spirit. But then he reminds himself, then you knew my path and the way which I walk, and that they have secretly set a snare for me. So he said, even with all of the trouble that has reached flood stage to the point that it's impacting my spirit, you know exactly what I'm going through. That's pretty much the first three verses of Psalm 142. In verse number four, he says, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." What this word, now the word refuge shows up twice here in Psalm 142, once in verse number four, it also shows up in verse number five, but they are two different words. So same word in English, different word in the Hebrew, they have slightly different meaning. So I'm going to talk about each of those for just a moment. So David is describing himself in a troublesome situation that is overwhelming him. It's impacting his spirit. And he makes this statement, "Refuge has failed me." What that word means is there is no place of escape. There's no place or path to get away or to flee from the conflict that is at hand. His path of escape has been destroyed. That leaves no option but to face the problem head on. But it doesn't mean you face the problem alone. There are some people who don't ever want to encounter the problem. And so there's an expression that sometimes they just want to sweep it under the rug. So whenever a problem arises, they start looking for the way of escape. They look, how do we get out of this situation to where we don't have to deal with it? Sometimes that leads to not a time of peace, but it leads to a time where there is an absence of conflict. The problem's still there. The trouble's still there. And the thing about not dealing with something when you have to deal with it, you just procrastinate and kick the can down the road, is the problem gets bigger. So David's first inclination was, let's look for a way of escape. No, that's not going to happen this time. I always like to remind people about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas was leading the arresting officers to where Jesus was going to be, that before Judas got there, Jesus said, "Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." He wasn't saying there's a way of escape. Hurry up, let's get out of here. That's not what happened. Jesus literally walks up to the soldiers. You see, he wasn't looking for the escape route from the cross any longer. He had already been to the throne room. He had already prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He had already been in sweat the drops of blood because of the intensity of the prayer. He knew what was going to happen. He persevered and he prayed even when the disciples had fallen asleep. And when he gets up, having been strengthened, and there was resolve in his spirit, he says, "Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." There were lots of natural pathways of escape to get away from the soldiers. Besides, Jesus knew what was going on in Judas' heart before really Judas knew what was going on to happen. And Jesus approaches the soldiers and says, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And when he said that, the soldiers all fell back and they fell to the ground. That's how powerful the word of Jesus is. If he was looking for a way to escape, a way to get away, there was that point in time. And instead of running away, he said, who'd you say you were looking for again? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, that's me. Let these guys go. And so they arrested him. You see, Jesus wasn't looking to run away from the cross. He had seen the joy on the other side of the cross and knew that the cross was the only way to get to that reconciliation of sinner to Father God. He was the way, not a way, the way. A lot of people try to live their life as good people, and in their minds, the nature of their character is what they're basing that they're going to get to heaven on. I will tell you, there's only one way to the Father, and it is through the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus understood what David felt, that there was no way of escape. Let me go on down just a little bit into verse number 5, where it says, I cried to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. Here that word refuge means you are my place of shelter from danger. The reality for believers is this: no one or nothing can cut us off from God being our shelter. God is our safe place. I had a relative that was married to a person who was very, 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 very rich. They had a big, beautiful home, and what they had built into their home was a safe room. It was a place where if they were attacked, that they could flee and they could be safe. And that works if you've got time to get there. If you don't, that safe room is not going to do much for you. You and I, we need to realize that even when trouble is surrounding us, even if it's impacting our soul, even if it's impacting our spirit, if it seems like this is a flood of trouble, we can understand that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against that, and God will be our place of shelter. Whatever happens to this body, God will still be the shelter of our life, the shelter of our spirit, the shelter for our eternity. My hope is not in this body. My hope is in his body. And so I'm thankful that even if my planned route of escape to safety is destroyed, I can still lift up my eyes and see that the Lord is my shelter. He is my rock. Back up in verse number 4, David makes a startling statement. And it's what concludes verse 4. So Psalm 142, verse number 4, says, David says this: no one cares for my soul. especially during this time of the year, I like to reach out through the radio program here in case there are people who are listening and you feel like you're all alone and that there's no one who cares for you. That no one cares if you live or if you die. I can tell you this. There have been seasons in my life where I felt all alone. And sometimes it was very much like David was here, where there were troubles that were going on. And, you know, it just felt like they were overwhelming. They were more than I could handle. And I remember at one point in time, now that doesn't mean that there wasn't anyone caring for my soul, but it can feel that way sometimes. And on top of everything that was going on, then I had a physical situation. This was long before the radio program began. And I remember I was laying back there on the gurney and waiting for the surgical team. And I remember praying this prayer: God, I am yours. And if today is the day that you want me to go and be with you, I want you to know that I'm okay with that. That was where I was with that particular problem. It wasn't a problem with my wife. It was other situations that were beyond my ability to resolve them. And it sometimes when you're going through that stuff, you feel like no one cares. Now, that was a lie from the enemy, because my wife cares. My mother cared at that time. My father cared at that time. Some of my kids cared at that time. And there were people at church that cared for my soul and things like that. What that word care means: no one seeks out or asks about my soul. No one asks how I am doing. No one asks if everything is okay. So sometimes when people are going through situations like that and the family reaches out to do just that, to check and see if their family member is okay, if they can't get an answer, they will call the authorities and they'll say, would you do a welfare check on my family member? A lot of times when that happens, the answer isn't necessarily good. There are a lot of people who feel as if when no one cares and every other route of escape has happened, that they feel like there's only one way, and that is they take matters into their own hands concerning their life. And I want you to know that that is not the solution. The truth is the solution. The truth is that your problem has an expiration date. God doesn't. The truth is that Jesus is very much concerned about your soul. We're going to work our way through Psalm 142, the latter part of this here, and we're going to see some great promises that are in there that are going to result in praising God. David's problems do not get to have the last word in his life. He felt like no one cared. He felt like that there was no way of escape. But then in verse number 5, there is this truth. He says, I cried out to the Lord and I said, you are my refuge. When every other route is cut off, the route to the throne room continues to have unhindered access. In fact, we need to avail ourselves of access to the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. It is something that we come boldly before the throne. So I can tell you that many times whenever you see people getting their breakthrough and you haven't got your breakthrough yet, that can be very discouraging. I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he does all things well. If you love him, if you're called according to his purpose, he's going to work all things together for your good. And the most challenging thing at that point in time is sticking around for the exact timing. And I will tell you that God's timing is flawless. His track record on precision is unparalleled. He is amazing. There was a guy that when Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, this overwhelming problem, this siege that has been laid against this city that is causing people to starve and people to, not have any food to eat, people who are fearful about whether they're even going to survive this attack. He said, by this time tomorrow, this problem is going to be a thing of the past, not a thing of the present or the future. And there was a guy who said, there is no way in the world that word can come to pass. And Elisha said, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you will not get to experience it. And by that time tomorrow, the guy had been put in charge of the city. The word was had reached the population that said, there's food outside of the city gates. The enemy has gone. The enemy is defeated. And that guy was put in charge of the gates, and he literally heard the news with his ears. He got to see that the siege was over, but he was trampled by those trying to get to where the food was, and he never got to experience it. I want to tell you today that if you feel like no one cares if you live or die, if no one is caring for your soul, I want you to know it's a lie from the pit of hell. You are loved, you are cared for, you are valuable, you are strategically placed for such a time as this. Your natural places of refuge may be cut off, but you have a shelter in Jesus. He is your rock of ages. And I tell you today, lift up your eyes, look to him, and you will find that he is your shelter in time of storm. You have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.